One thing that's been such a help in our Camp Dove services is when the bulk of our own people are there each night to support the kids, support those praying in the altar, the preaching. Amen. So don't let anything keep you from coming. Be good to see all of you there. You'll be blessed, I promise you. I have utmost confidence in Brother and Sister Blue. They're way high, right up there at the top of ministers, I believe. And I certainly appreciate them being willing. They're very busy people, but they were willing to come again this year. We're privileged to have them. Why don't you just make Brother and Sister Blue feel welcome today? Could you do that?
Well, how about everybody just say, praise the Lord. He's worthy of our praise this morning, isn't he? My, I feel his holy presence here today, and I'm grateful for that, aren't you? Amen. To come into the house of God and feel the presence of the Lord. It's our retreat and reprieve from the world and all of the pressures round about us. So it's a wonderful thing to come and gather together in the name of the Lord. Amen. So good to see everybody again. And on that certain Sunday in July where suddenly the church has the blues, you know that it's Camp Dove time, right? And we're honored to be a part of Camp Dove and surprised. And for all of you that look at these gray hairs and think, man, preaching youth camp and kids camp, believe me, I look in the mirror and I'm just as surprised as you are that we get to speak to the kids this week. And looking forward to that. And we're glad to see Brother and Sister Stevens this morning. Surprised to see him, but I don't know why we're so surprised. We know they've got kids and grandkids here, and yet they're pastors down in Missouri. And is this your first time to be at Camp Dove? I assured them this morning that hanging out at Camp Dove is going to make them feel young again, right? And so we're all in favor of that, and looking forward to it. And I'm really trying to hold my excitement down to a minimum, because this is that one service where I'm with you, and I have to act like an adult. And then we get to go out there, and yeah, we're at kids camp, and it's going to be an exciting week. This is an especially exciting week for me. To be at Camp Dove, because this, after all of the years that we've been involved in the camp, this is our first year to bring one of our own grandchildren. We've got our oldest grandson with us this week, and he's out in children's church right now, but we're glad to have Taden with us, and he's all excited about it. And while our oldest grandson will be with us at Camp Dove, we had a brand new granddaughter born into our family just Wednesday of this week. So we told them in class over here, Brother Norvell's class, that little Alexia was born on Wednesday, and I'm already calling her Princess Alexia. And she's certainly, taking control of my heart. But anyways, a lot of things going on in our lives, and we're glad to be back with you. Good to see a lot of familiar faces and old friends, and we appreciate Brother and Sister Hurst and their hospitality. Thank them for the invitation to be back among you. And for several years now, our custom is to arrive on Saturday night, and we gather together at the Hurst table and have a good meal together. And likewise, last night we had a wonderful time of fellowship, and it was a lot of fun. And we're glad to be back among their fellowship and be with you this morning. Amen. Good to see Brother and Sister Begley this morning. And feel like I'm surrounded today with a lot of wonderful preachers. And pray that you'll help me this morning. Amen. Well, time's getting away, so we'll save some of our remarks for tonight and through the other nights throughout the week. But let me read you some scripture. If you have your Bibles and want to read along with me, I'll read from Mark chapter 5 today. Mark chapter 5, And we'll start in verse 25. And as soon as we start reading, some of you that were in Brother Bill's class will recognize this story, because towards the end of the class, there were a couple of the men, Brother Begley and others, that commented on this particular story. So I was thinking, wow, this feels like a confirmation. This wonderful, powerful miracle here in Mark chapter 5. Verse 25, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Everybody say amen. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word today. We know that your word is truth. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding today, that you would open up our eyes that we would see and our ears that we would hear what the Spirit would say to the church today, that you would challenge us, that you would change us and draw us all closer to you. And we'll give you the praise for your namesake. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. I'd like to borrow a title for this message this morning from a poem that the Lord gave me several months ago. And I'm just going to talk to you today about a sick soul saved. A sick soul saved. Amen. We all understand something about sickness. There's many in this service today that are battling sicknesses of all kinds, and sickness is one of those things of being a human that we don't necessarily like and we don't appreciate, but it's part of our human condition. And I'm one of those. I just say praise the Lord. I don't get sick often, but when I do get sick, it's the worst of whatever it was that anybody's ever had in their whole life. And it's sort of a man thing too. You know, when a wife gets sick, it's like, would you hurry up and get better? And then when us men get sick, it's like, don't you see I'm dying here? I don't like getting sick. It's a terrible thing. And I got sick last fall. We were traveling and coming through southern Illinois. We had I'd got just really sick, and shakes and fevers and all of that, and I knew that I was going to need help to be able to minister the coming up week. So I went by the urgent care clinic in a little town in southern Illinois, and shaking, quaking, feverish, and just generally not feeling good. So I didn't appreciate the humor of the man that come into when I finally filled out all the papers and got back there in the room and I'm sitting there waiting for some medical help. I didn't appreciate the humor of the man that come barging in the door with this clipboard in his hand, and he suddenly said, "My name is Russ and I'm your pa." I said, "Huh?" And I guess the blank look on my face, just like yours really, just right then. He pointed to his name tag and said, "Russ, PA, physician's assistant." Okay, can we get on with this now? I'm not feeling good. And I thought about introducing myself this morning. Hello, my name is Mike, and I'm your pa, physician's assistant. I just want you to know that I'm not the physician. He's the physician. But I would like to think of myself this morning as a physician's assistant, because there may be sick people among us today that need help. You need health. You need healing. And ultimately, after we do a little diagnosis here, I'd like to point you to one that's able to help you with whatever the problem is in your life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the great physician. I believe that Jesus Christ is the healer of all of our unhealthy situations of life. And I'm not just talking about the physical problems of our life. And I don't think that this story here that we read about from the Bible has to do solely about one woman's physical condition. I believe that there's something a lot deeper and something very, very important to us spiritually in this story. So if you'll allow me this morning, I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes on a sick soul saved, and tell you about this woman, and hopefully help you to get the help that you need this morning. This story is recorded here. It is a miracle of a actual physical healing, and we know that. But we also know that the Scripture says that all things, everything in the Scripture is written for our example and our ensample. There's a lot of history in the Bible, but it's there because it teaches spiritual truth. There are the personal stories of these who came in contact with Jesus. And while we celebrate the miracle that took place that day, we know also that this is not just a testimony of one woman's healing. It's a template for our healing as well. We know that this story is here not just about a woman who had a hemorrhage and all of those who have suffered similar maladies would be able to relate to that. But it is here so that we can draw some spiritual example that will help every one of us sitting in a church pew this morning. I believe that this is a story not just to listen to, but to learn from. Now, we find this woman, we meet her at the end of a 12-year battle with this particular sickness. The Bible tells us here that she had been sick. She had had this issue of blood for 12 years. 12 long years she's been battling in her body. And so we know that it's a real sickness. This was a debilitating disease, this continuous loss of blood. It was a polluting disease that, according to the Old Testament, would have made her ceremonially unclean. She would not even be able to go to the house of God with this particular type of sickness that she had in her body. So right there, we see a spiritual connection to her infirmity. Amen. And we know that this sickness of hers has been a frustration to her. 12 long years she's been battling this, but not frustrating just in the length of the sickness, but in the fact that she had tried many physicians. The Bible tells us with emphasis, she had tried many physicians. And after going to these many physicians, and I almost smile when I read this portion of Scripture, and it says she had suffered much, amen, of many physicians. If you've been to the doctor, you know some of the humiliation that goes along with that, right? And the gouging and the needles and all of those things of modern medicine. Well, that doesn't even begin to hint at that she suffered under that ancient practice of medicine. There's no telling what this woman must have gone through, but it was a frustration to her. But it was also a financial drain to her. She had spent all, the Bible says. She has spent everything that she had. We don't know how much she had, but she doesn't have anything left. And everything that she had, she has spent on doctors. Every time a new doctor comes to town, one of her friends says, "Have you tried Dr. Smith?" "No, but I will." And she got an appointment, paid the fee, and kept growing worse. She had tried everything, gone everywhere, trying to get better. She was a desperate woman. She is tired. She is fatigued with this ongoing struggle and battle in her body. And so it's frustrating. It's a financial drain. It's fatiguing. She is very tired physically. We know that by doing a casual study on the loss of blood and the nutrients and all that the blood brings to the various parts of our body. This woman is a woman that's very fatigued. She is crawling through every day, barely getting through every day. And so we know that she has this physical illness, but I believe that this illness is a metaphor for other illnesses. It's a metaphor, I believe, for the worst kinds of sickness, which are not physical. Amen. There are sicknesses that are worse than physical sicknesses. And namely, they are sicknesses of the soul. Amen. Something wrong down in the depth of our soul, in the depth of our being. You see, you can have a physical disease and still somehow be able to be triumphant and victorious and have vitality in your life if you have a health of soul. But you can be sick in your soul, and it doesn't matter if you run marathons. You can be sick in your soul, and it doesn't matter if you've never been in a hospital, never seen a doctor, and the picture of health. If you're sick in your soul, friend, you've got the worst kind of sickness. Amen. I recently met a young man. Maybe he's been up in this part of the country. I don't know if you've met Justin Sullivan. Have you heard the name? You will. I hope that you will. I met Justin Sullivan just a few weeks ago. We were doing or assisting in a vacation Bible school in Oklahoma, and Justin was staying with the pastor there, and I had heard his name and was quite fascinated and impressed by the energy of this young man. And to see him, he's 20-something, probably 25, 26, maybe 27. And he just jumped right in there, help, push that broom around the fellowship hall, help carry out the trash and clean up and all of that. But he does it from a wheelchair. Amen. And not only that, but he preaches from a wheelchair. You see, Brother Justin has no legs and was born with this particular deformity in his body. And then to hear him tell the stories about his missions trips, and to know that Justin goes over to the Dominican Republic, and he goes up into the mountains of that island country, and he straps his wheelchair on his back, and using the stubs of his legs and his hands, he hikes up the sides of those mountains and takes his wheelchair and the gospel to people who have never heard before. Friend, let me tell you, you can have a deformity in your body, but if you've got something down in your soul, amen, that somehow overcomes all of those physical limitations. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you. But if the reverse is true, and you've got a physical health and physical well-being, and everything looks good on the outside, and yet you're sick on the inside, my friend. Praise God. Justin Sullivan's got something that you only have dreamed about. I want to tell you this morning that I believe that this woman's condition is a metaphor for a disease of the soul that has destroyed so many lives, so many families, so many homes, so many marriages, a sickness of the soul. Amen. I'm telling you, we're living in a world that's filled with this particular sickness. I'm talking about sickness of the soul. It's disturbing to me as I travel around the country, and I realize that our nation is losing this war. We are not evolving like they have been telling us for years. Hello? Amen. If that were true, and some of you have heard my testimony, how that I've shared bits and pieces of it here over the years, how that when I got saved, this is my 40th year since I got saved, and I'm glad to report that to you today. Amen. And I give God the praise for that. Because, Brother Brian, when I got saved, I was a long-haired hitchhiking hippie strung out on drugs. Amen. And when the Lord delivered me from drugs and saved me, I was in Jamaica, West Indies, buying drugs to bring back to the States to sell when the conviction of God came upon me and I got born again. Amen. And the Lord delivered me from that life of drugs, saved me from it. And I've never gone back, never looked back, never wanted to go back. And that's been 40 years ago this year. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to tell you, if we were evolving, the drug problem would be fading in the background. We know the statistics. We know how drugs destroy lives and ruin human relationships. But we're not getting better. Instead, we're legalizing marijuana in many states across the country. Hello? And shock of all shocks to me is heroin is the new drug of choice. And heroin addiction is on the rise, on the growth. I thought we would have learned the lesson years ago with the hippie movement and all of that, but we didn't. And now movie stars are dying of heroin overdoses and celebrities dying of heroin overdoses. And I'm telling you, it's a sickness that gets a hold of a soul that makes it look for satisfaction in everything else. And when we have spent all, she had spent all on doctors. We're spending all on everything else, trying to find some peace, trying to find some happiness, trying to find some source of direction and comfort in life. And let me tell you, friends, amen, when you have spent it all on marijuana and heroin, you'll be getting the worse and not the better. Y'all with me this morning? Hey, man, I read this story. Maybe you read it, too, a few weeks ago. I guess it caught my attention because I've been there on the George Washington Bridge in New York City. In fact, I hitchhiked across that bridge. A man stopped in rush hour traffic to pick me up in the middle of the George Washington Bridge coming out of New York City years ago, back in my B.C. days before Christ. And I read this story of this lady and her boyfriend that jumped off that bridge a few weeks ago, jumped to their deaths. And later, this woman that jumped to her death, a mother of four young children, left a note to her children. And she said, I'm sorry that I have done this. And my only hope is that you will remember a mommy before heroin. Did you get that? Amen. That they might remember a mommy before heroin. I'm telling you, they spent all, didn't get better, grew the worse. You know, the number one drug problem in America is still liquor. It's still booze. It's still alcohol. I read that startling statistic recently that in the United States of America, amen, Americans spend $197 million a day on alcohol. We're not getting better, friends. We're getting worse. Amen. Marriages torn apart, homes torn apart, child abuse happening frequently. Come on now. Amen. There's no way, shape, or form you can say that our country is evolving into a more peaceful place. We come from Illinois. The 4th of July weekend, there were 22 shootings in Chicago that weekend, and I think 14 deaths as a result of it. Last year, there were more deaths by shootings in Chicago, Illinois, than there were on the battlefield of Afghanistan. That's startling. Violence and vulgarity and addictions of all kinds. There's something wrong. There's a sickness that's got a hold of our souls. Amen. consider ourselves an evolved and intelligent nation, and we've learned a few things. We got it all up in our head, but we don't have anything down in our heart. Our souls are empty and crippled and sick and fatigued and broke. We're spending all, amen, trying to find some satisfaction and healing everywhere else. And hers was a life from which health had gone. And it may be that there is somebody here this morning, you feel that you've lost something down in your soul. Yours is a life from which health has gone. How many years, how many months now have you been battling this thing? Amen. I found myself recently mentioning heroin more and more, maybe because of that story that I just shared with you about that young mother. But I'm not taking anything for granted, Brother Stevens, as I travel the country now, not taking anything for granted. Amen. It still shocks me, but then again, amen, it doesn't shock me to run into some of the things that we're running into. Amen. I mentioned heroin just not long ago, a little holiness church, and it surprised me. When I made the altar call and I knelt down beside that young man and I called his name, I asked somebody his name and I said, "Is there something I can help you pray about?" And he looked up and he quietly said to me, "Yes." He said, "I'm trying to get free from heroin. I've been free for 2 weeks now, but it's been a long, hard battle in a holiness church, in a Pentecostal church." Friend, we're not taking anything for granted. I'm telling you, there's a sickness of soul that is settling in upon people everywhere. If you feel this fatigue of your soul, this emptiness, this sickness down inside of your heart, I want to eventually this morning, hopefully with the Lord's help, tell you that there's a great physician today that can help you. But let me emphasize for a little bit this matter of a life from which health has gone. A life from which health has gone. I was preaching in Texas not long ago. Made the altar call on a Sunday morning. And a young lady came and got saved. She told me later, I'd preached on the prodigal son that day. She said, "I'm the prodigal daughter." And she told me her story. This was Texas, West Texas. She said, 3 days ago, I was down in Miami, Florida. And she said, "I was at a dead-end street." I mean, literally and spiritually. She said, "I was at a dead-end street. I had a $600 a day drug habit and doing everything that I had to do to supply that. And when suddenly I felt like I needed to get home, West Texas." And she got there in time for the revival to start. And I preached on the prodigal son, and she came and got saved. Praise God. Amen. But I'm telling you, as grateful as I am for that today, think of that. Amen. The amount of money that she was spending on that habit that was destroying her life and destroying her relationships and tearing her from everything that is truly meaningful in life. Amen. There's a sickness that's got a hold of people. I saw a man just yesterday coming up here, standing on the street corner with one of those cardboard signs, "Broke, hungry, please help." And sometimes I do. Amen. Sometimes I do. But it's really hard for me when they got a cigarette hanging out of their mouth. Hello? Amen. Because I don't know exactly what they cost, but I know something about what they cost. And nicotine addiction can be 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Multiply that by 7, and you've got a pretty substantial weekly expense to support that habit. Come on now, broke and hungry, and can't. There's a sickness in our soul. Amen. That won't let that go. We are spending all that we have on the pleasures of this world, and yet growing worse. But hers was not only a life from which health had gone. This woman in our story was a life in which hope was born. The Bible tells us here that when she heard of Jesus, I love that phrase. Praise God. When she heard of Jesus, a life in which hope was born. when she heard of Jesus. She had tried everything else. She had followed every other avenue. She had taken recommendations from everybody else and kept growing worse. But when she heard of Jesus, praise God, I'm going to tell you, church, we have an important job to do. Amen. We have a commission. We need to be talking more about Jesus. We need to be talking more about Jesus. We need to be singing more about Jesus. Praise God. We need to testify about Jesus and preach about Jesus. Amen. And point people to Jesus, because I believe that Jesus is our only hope. And when she heard of Jesus, suddenly hope welled up inside her. And she said, I'll try one more time. One more time. Praise God. Oh, thank God. I'm glad for this story in the Bible, because it is a template to us on how to get help. How to get deliverance. Help starts with hope. We've got to give people hope. It doesn't matter that they've got a $600 a day habit, or that they're struggling with heroin, or they can't break the nicotine habit. Amen. They need to be offered some hope. We can't just kick them out and abandon them and act like there's no solutions to their problems. There is a solution. Come on, I'm just your pa here this morning. I'm just a physician's assistant. I'm just sort of looking over the diagnosis of our day. But I'm telling you, I know one who is able to heal even that malady, woman. I know one who is able to deliver you from that infirmity. I know one who is able to break the drug habit, break the liquor addiction, break the nicotine addiction. Amen. Give you your senses back. Stop that pornography addiction. Amen. And give us health in our soul again. Praise God. I'm glad for Jesus this morning. Amen. Praise God. Oh, this woman heard about Jesus, and I believe that she had hope in her heart, because it becomes visible to us. Hope in this particular scripture tells us that she came to where he was. Amen. Hope drives you on. Hope gives you a reason to try again. Amen. Can I tell you, if you've been abandoning hope, amen, if you've been thinking about giving it up, if you think you've reached the end of your rope, let me tell you about Jesus one more time. Amen. Would you try one more time? Get to where Jesus is. Come to where he is. The Bible says she came to where he was. Something inside her said, if I can just get to where he is. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that you came to church this morning, regardless of what your problems have been. Something inside of you instinctively knows that this is a great place to meet Jesus. But listen, amen, Jesus will hear your cry there by your bed in the wee hours of the morning. Jesus will hear your cry at the couch. He'll hear your cry driving down the road 60 miles an hour. Amen. Jesus will hear your cry even there. This long-haired hitchhiking hippie got saved sitting on the porch of a farmhouse on top of a mountain in West Virginia, bearing conviction for several days after leaving Jamaica. Amen. But Jesus heard my prayer from that porch, and he saved me, and he changed me. Oh, but what better place is there to meet Jesus than in this house that's been dedicated unto him, where we have felt already his presence in our singing and in our worship. I believe that where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there will I be. And guess what? He's here this morning. He's here. You came to where he is. Yeah, praise God. I hope that's the driving force behind your decision to be here today. I believe God wants to help you. I believe that he will help you. Amen. Hope is a powerful, powerful force. Amen. She came to where he was. She humbled herself. It was a great act of desperation for her to come into that crowd. If anybody finds out that she's got that malady, she would be condemned. She would be shamed. She would be driven from among them. She's desperate, and hope is driving her on. She humbles herself, and she takes that chance. She takes that chance. And she comes to where Jesus is and finds that Jesus is surrounded by a large crowd. And so now she's got obstacles in the way, barriers to the blessing, things that are coming between her and the possible solution. Amen. It may be this morning you see a lot of obstacles, a lot of barriers. You don't see your way through this. You don't know how you're going to get from where you are to where He is. Amen. And by the way, I'll just throw this in for good measure. I believe many times the obstacles that stand between us and Jesus are people. Amen. Come on now. In this case, it was a literal crowd of people, but sometimes it's what people have said or what people have done or how people have treated us that get between us and Jesus. Friend, if you want help this morning, and let me tell you, you're going to have to press past the obstacle. You're going to have to get around the barrier somehow or another. Forget the people in the crowd and remember it's Jesus. Amen. Not even Jesus' disciples. It's Jesus. We've got to get to Him because He's the one that can help us today. Oh, praise God. I'm trying to hurry this morning. Amen. Let me tell you, there's a real battle in our day with maladies of the mind, discouragements, depression. They seem to be ruling the day. The dark shadows of depression that fall upon us. Amen. These are dark times, struggling to find some meaning in life. Amen. It's in those dark shadows that the enemy of our soul wants to tell us that we can't ever make it. We won't ever be back. We can't ever be healthy again. There won't ever be sunshine. There's only rain and clouds ahead for us forever. Amen. You're going to have to get past that and get to Jesus. Somehow or another, let a hope in Him drive you beyond whatever barriers there are between you and Him. Amen. Because eventually, this woman from whom health had gone, and this woman whose life hope was born, becomes a life in which help was found. Praise God. Hers is a life in which help is found. Help is found. Finally, help is found. Praise God. Oh, glory. Amen. I don't want to lead you to believe that it's by her desperate act or her self-dependence or her own personal actions that bring the healing. Oh no, it's going to be Jesus. But there's lots of lessons to be learned here. She presses through the press. She reaches through the crowd. She crawls if she has to. Amen. She says, "Excuse me," and presses on. She pushes beyond the barriers and she reaches until finally she barely touches the hem of His garment. And when she does, the Bible says, praise God, that immediately there was something that happened. Actually, there's two words here. Her word, straightway. Amen. Straightway, or all at once, she was made well. She was healed. And then concerning Jesus, it says, immediately He felt virtue go from Him. Amen. Something simultaneously, spontaneously, instantaneously happened on both ends. Amen. She received, He gave. It flowed out of Him and she got what she came for. Praise God. And more than what she came for. She got more than what she came for. I believe that she gets her healing, which is the physical miracle. But that's not all that happens here. Praise God. I believe that when she touched Jesus, virtue flowed out of Him. And Jesus healed that malady instantaneously in her body, which means the fountain of her blood dried up. The hemorrhage stopped, praise God. And instantaneously, whatever had caused that had been healed. Praise the Lord. I believe God. God is able to stop that and amen and heal you of whatever it is that's draining you at this particular juncture in your life. Amen. But that's not all that happened. Jesus turned to her and said, "Woman, be whole. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." And then he goes on and says, "Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." The wholeness is a word that refers to restoration. She's not only going to be healed, in other words, the disease stops, but she's going to get back things that she has lost. Amen. In the case of those that were lepers, you could heal the leprosy, but if it's eight fingers away and ears away and destroyed places on your face, the disease might be healed. But if you say behold, that means the flesh comes back, the fingers reappear, amen, and you've got back all that you lost. I believe that something happens. She gets energy restored into her. She gets a vitality and vibrance inside of her. And specifically, Jesus says, "Go in peace." Praise God. I know you've been troubled. I know you've been desperate. I know you fought not only this physical battle, but this mental battle that's gone along with it. Go in peace, he says. Let peace be upon you. Tonight you're going to sleep good, sis. Tonight you're going to sleep better than you've slept in a long time. Amen. You're going to have a reason to live. Peace be upon you. Go in peace, he says. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you this morning, somebody needs the peace that passes all understanding. And only Jesus can give that. Amen. Some of you need a return of joy. Return of joy. Somewhere along the line, a lot of things have drained it from you. I believe Jesus can help and heal those factors in your life. But he also wants to give you your joy back. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to have the peace and the joy and the love, which are the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus is still the help that we can find. He is still the help that we need. Praise the Lord. I know that we're living in dark days, but Jesus is still saving souls, changing lives. Amen. I had the privilege this year, I was preaching revival down in southern Indiana. Well, down below Bloomington, where Indiana University is. Is it I of you or U of I? And Bloomington. And there's a lady that attends Tunnel Hill Church there, Sister Antonia. Maybe you've met her. She's a professor of linguistics at Indiana University. Did I say it right? IU. She's a professor of linguistics, a Nigerian woman, very smart, holiness woman, spirit-filled woman, loves the Lord. Amen. It was a snowy time in January, but every night of the revival, almost every night, Sister Antonia brought students from IU with her. Amen. So literally, I was preaching every night to students from Kenya, Africa. I was preaching to students that were from the Sudan, Nigeria. Praise God. And I got to see some of those students come to the altar and find the help that they've been looking for in their life. Praise God. Brother Lakes has a family in that church. As a result of Sister Antonia's connections there at the university, this family came in. They were Muslims. Amen. But they have converted to Christ. They are spirit-filled people. Amen. Have come to know the Lord. You see, they're disillusioned with the violent factions of their Islamic religion. And it drove them on to something else. And they found Jesus. Praise God. Jesus is still the help that we so desperately need. Amen. The young man that came to revival, came to a service out in Arizona. He had just got out of prison, only a couple of days. But he came straight to church on Wednesday night. Amen. Came into the altar and gave his life to Jesus. He had tried everything else and he realized that Jesus is the help that he so desperately needed. We could share testimonies all morning. But I just want to tell you that That regardless of what you've been going through and what it is you're up against and where you've been spending your substance, the reality is it's not found there or there or there. It's found in Him, in Jesus. Reach out and touch Him this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? LaDonna, would you come and sing that song? It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Because it really doesn't. In that poem, Six Souls Saved, the first half, it's a lot of words that describe the human condition. Incapacitated, weak, and wounded, immobilized by self-analysis, self-inflicted, immoral paralysis, a dizzy vertigo discouraging the height, a sluggish shadow sliding through the night, meaningless mayhem in the mind, lifeless learning, loveless yearning, an honest hurting in the heart, a regurgitation of the past, sickening shame and nauseating blame, feverish forays of failure, phantom pain unexplained, and a complicated deficiency of strength. But enter therapeutic word of life, antibiotic truth, dreams of childhood and youth, a transfusion of eternal sacrifice, a surgical precision of implanted grace, glimpses of a physician's face, glances of revival, chances of survival, hope regained, the nursing church attending kindness, loving light breaking through the blindness, shaking off the grip of death and hell, a soul emerges into health, and I am well, I am well, I am well. A sick soul can be saved. Mine was, hers was, and yours can. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? And if you feel like that the Lord is speaking to you words of hope today, don't miss the opportunity. Don't waste a moment. Why don't you get to Jesus this morning?
Where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling, but because of who He is and because of where He's been, because of what He's done, you can start all over.
Yes, sing it one more time. Because of what He's done.
It doesn't matter.
Because of who He is.
It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling.
Softly calling.
But because of who He is. And because of where He's been. Because of what He's done. You can start all over.
Why don't you come to Jesus this morning? Come on, press
again.
Press past the obstacles. Get past the people. Get past your past. Your disappointments. Why don't you step out right now and join others who have come to this altar already because they need some help from the Lord today. You know, the ultimate disease of the soul is sin. But even as Christians, sometimes we get weak. We let up. A sort of a sickness starts settling in our soul. We know that something's not right. Something's wrong. Come on, let the Lord help you today. Let the Lord strengthen you today. Praise God. Let the Lord help you today. Press through the press. Get to Jesus. talk to him, reach out to him, touch him.
It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where.
Come and join us, church, as many as you that can.
It doesn't matter what you've done.
The pastor will dismiss the service soon, or however you're accustomed to here this morning. But for a few moments, let's pray together. And if you feel like there's somebody here that you need to pray with, you know what they're going through. You know what they're up against. The troubles of their life, their mind, depressions and discouragements of all kinds, disappointments that some of these young people have faced, and disillusionment.
It doesn't matter where.
Encourage them to get to Jesus this morning.
It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly.
I don't know how sick your soul is today.
Because of who he is.
Sick with some kind of an addiction.
Because of where he's been.
Get to Jesus.
Because of what
get to Jesus.
He's done. You can start.
Maybe you've tried everything else and kept getting worse. Let Jesus.
It doesn't matter who.
Let Jesus help you today.
It doesn't matter.
The Lord of glory, the crucified
been.
Lamb of God.
It doesn't matter.
The Son of God, our
done.
Savior, Jesus.
Jesus is softly.
Let him help you, young people.
Calling, but because of who he
it's
is.
It's not out there in the world. It's
and
a deception. It's
an where he's
it's a delusion
been.
Of the devil. It is not out there. It doesn't come in a pill. It doesn't come in a bottle.
You can start all
it'll only make things worse.
Again.
It'll only make things worse. What you really need
You've
is Jesus.
Been on a long and rocky road. At times you felt cheated to have to bear this heavy load. While others who would barely even try would spread their wings like eagles and soar into the sky. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling, but because of who he is and because of where he's been, because of what he's done, you can start all over again. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling. But because of who he is and because of where he's been, because of what he's done, you can start all over again. This you have had to bear at times have grown weary while others unaware of the mountains of mistakes you've tried to hide. With a smile on your face and a broken heart inside, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling. But because of who he is and because of where he's been, because of what he's done, and start all over again. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter.